हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मावीर्यविश्वावहै चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Summary of Chapter 28, Further Considerations of Rasa Tattva, Part 2, Mukhya Rati, Principal Attachment. The next day, Vijaya Kumar and Vrajanath returned to Sri Gopal Guru Goswami, and after offering their prostrate obeisances, continued with their esoteric inquiries. In particular, they wished to clarify certain subjects of Rasa Tattva that had been discussed during their earlier visits. Vrajanath started the inquiries. Gurudev, you have described the four bhavas, Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, and Vyavichari Bhava. Amongst these four bhavas was there mention of Stai Bhava, permanent spiritual mellow, right? Because what we discussed before was called the Samagri, or the ingredients of rasa, right? So these four are the ingredients, but it hadn't been discussed the Stai Bhava, or the fixed or permanent mood, like that. Goswami, all the categories you have mentioned are the different forms of bhava. From amongst them, the bhava that preeminently asserts itself like an emperor, embracing, controlling, and subjugating all other bhavas, whether congenial or conflicting, is the devotee's stai bhava. Krishna Rati, transcendent love of Krishna, situated within the heart of the devotee ashraya, is known as stai bhava. Okay, so that's your definition. Right? Means transcendent love of Krishna situated in the heart of the devotee, ashraya, is known as stai bhava. So it's a particular variety of love that the devotee has for Krishna. That's the stai bhava, right? So whether it's conjugal, parental, friendship, servitorship, or neutrality, right? That's the stai bhava. So whenever we say rasa, we talk about rasa, basically devotees are always referring to the stai bhava. Right? Generally, these others are details within it, because they're the samagri, they're the ingredients that make, that give that flavor and everything to the stai bhava. When we discussed ashraya previously under the topic of samagri bhava, we placed ashraya in the category alambana, basic cause, within the spectrum of vibhava. Right? So this element of ashraya, right, the shelter, it was discussed before within vibhava. Right, as the aspect of alambana, right? So that Krishna has all these qualities, like the unlimited qualities, but which qualities are you attracted to? Right? So those qualities, that group of qualities, then you're the ashraya for love of those qualities. Right? But where does that come from? Why that group of qualities is unlimited qualities? It's because of your stai bhava. Right? So in other words, the stai bhava, then within vibhava, it is the ashraya of the within that alambana, within the group of qualities. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So, and that group of qualities, though they may be overlapping, right? It's not that, let's say, Krishna's sweetness is not appreciated by all the devotees, right? But the sweetness of parental rasa is different than the sweetness of conjugal rasa. Does that make sense? So that means that ashraya then has to have a specific, you know, direction. So that will go back to the stai bhava. Right? So the stai bhava, that's what he says, is the emperor, embracing, controlling, and subjugating all the other bhavas. Because it is through that one that the other four manifest how they do. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, For example, hela. So the one is kind of like where there's lack of respect. But that lack of respect is due to they've done something wrong or something you don't like. It's not a lack of respect, meaning they have authority issues. Right? It means the first one, if you're amazed, you just look straight. Right? If there's that element of that disrespect or that but it's disrespect in a closeness, then the head goes to the side. Right? Does that make sense? Someone does something wrong. What do you mean? You know, it goes like that. You understand? So, but Mother Jashoda is when she does that, Krishna does something wrong that he shouldn't. He's misbehaving. If she does that, it'll have that parental mood. You know, what is this? You know, like that. But when the gopis do it, it'll be different. You understand? Because the sthayi bhava is the main function. Does that make sense? That's what controls and directs all the others. So, therefore, what he's now trying to point out is that when we deal with ashraya, because the main ashraya is the sthayi bhava, Mother Yashoda is the ashraya, the shelter of parental rasa. Now, that means there's a certain group of qualities of Krishna and situations and interactions which the parental rasa functions within. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, that will be the alambana, or the areas vibhava, or what is stimulates rasa. Right? In other words, you have the rasa, but then there has to be a catalyst to start it interacting. That's the vibhava. So that means the alambana in vibhava has to be based on the sthayibhava. Right? Because all it is it's the impetus for the sthayibhava. Then the udipana is the specific quality that at present is causing the inspiration. Does that make sense? In other words, you have the rasa, that means you're inspired by certain qualities, right? That's the alambana. And then a certain quality amongst that group happens to be present now, so therefore now specifically you are inspired. That's the udipana. Does that make sense? Yeah? All right. Okay. Yes.
Is that why sometimes you're inspired to do a service, but a certain thing comes up, you get?
Yeah, you don't. It means you're inspired, but then the udipanas that comes up aren't in line necessarily with the alambana that you're expecting. You know, you're thinking I'm going to go do this, and just you know, either nobody's there, a few people that'll be doing their own thing, so I'll be there and I'll sit down and you know, sit in front of the deities and. You know, chant and really get absorbed and all that. Then you go there and you find out that, you know, it's 26th December and there's 5 million Indians and that are visiting like that. And so there's no place to even sit down and everything. And it's noisy, they're moving around. And so, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Shantaras, in this context, does it qualify as sthayi bhava?
It's a sthayi bhava in that it's a fixed position that you appreciate Krishna. And then there'll be certain qualities specifically that you appreciate. Because generally, appreciation means something that's outstanding. Right? But the point is it can be a wide range. Just like you see is that... means you have this whole progression. Means that, let's say... You know, like, let's say he appreciates the greatness of God or the sweetness between the interaction between the devotees. But all it does is inspire an affection. But it doesn't, the affection is not so intense that there's the desire to therefore reciprocate by an activity. Right? In other words, something's there and basically the reciprocation is static. It's just there's an appreciation. Does that make sense? Like that. Yeah? So that's why in some considerations Rupa Goswami doesn't so much particularly count it as a rasa. Means it is a rasa, but it's not a prominent or important rasa. Because that's not where the dynamic human interaction is happening, right? The trees are in Shanta Rasa, the cows are in Shanta Rasa, the birds are in Shanta Rasa. Right, but how much do you interact with the trees and cows? You don't make plans with them. You don't understand. So therefore, It's necessary because rasa has to be expressed in a situation, right? So the shanta ras fills out that situation. Since in the spiritual world everything is conscious, that means the situation itself is conscious. Does that make sense? Here it's like you have to have specific, you know, people there or living, you know, other living entities. You know, they're there. You have the situation, but it's not that they're conscious. So the trees are there, but that's not the rasa going on. Right? The rasa that's happening is between the people. Right? But in the spiritual world, then those trees and everything, they're all conscious. So therefore the situation is also conscious. Right? So it's necessary. The situation is there. But the interaction of the lila is going to happen between the four higher rasas. Right? Does that make sense? And in Vrindavan, servitorship is not prominent. It's not. It's there. It means you do have servants, but it's not the prominent rasa. Prominence starts from Shakya. So Vrindavan, you can say, is your Shakya Vatsalya Madhurya. Yeah?
Usually we say devotional. Usually we say devotional service is activity. So would we call Shanta Rasa devotional service?
We call it devotional service because you can say it's mental activity. You're appreciating the activities on the platform, the mind. You know, like meditation's an activity, but it's a mental activity. But the point is the natural thing is like the physical activity. So this is more subtle, but then more subtle than that actually is the physical activity on the spiritual platform. That's higher, right? So all it is the neutral state between you're not mentally doing material activities, you're mentally doing spiritual activities, right? But it hasn't, I mean, yeah. It means you've gone from material gross to material subtle, to the mind. Then you switch the mind over to the spiritual. Yeah. But you haven't brought the natural full conclusion where you bring the activities now to the spiritual platform. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes. Basic cause means the cause means what causes interaction, causes the rasa.
So the impetus for a particular.
Yeah, it's the basic cause. That's why he's saying Alambana is your basic. But within that wide range of basic, whatever specific one or group is present at the time, that's the Udipana. That's the specific, like the catalyst that starts it going. Right? The Alambana is anything that could start it going. Right? And the Staibhava is what gets started going. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. When we discussed Ashraya previously under the topic of Samagri Bhava, we placed Ashraya in the category of Alambana, basic cause within the spectrum of Vibhava. In this way, we indirectly indicated the Staibhava within the heart of the devotee. Right, because the point is that Alambana, that Ashraya, had to come from somewhere, but that wasn't the topic at the time. So indirectly, he talked about Staibhava. Staibhava, the predominant bhava, brings the rest of the bhavas under its sway and orchestrates varying bhavas to act as the central impetus in the creation of rasa. Right, so one of these may be prominent. Right, let's say there is Sattvika bhavas, right? So the physical, like they're stunned or their voice is choked. So that becomes, in the interaction, the central bhava, right? But who has made that the central bhava? That's Staibhava, right? The Staibhava, because the point is why is he the voice choked? Because of the main bhava, right? Means, in other words, the various impetuses for rasa in connection with that bhava are manifest, therefore it's happening, it's gotten to such an extreme that it manifests physically. Does that make sense? So there, even we see is even the bhavas, even though Stai bhava is the emperor, it still puts the other ones in the front. Right? Because how often do you, means you'll be, look, let's say we're talking about the, how do you say, Damodar Lila. Okay? Now, Mother Jashoda is sitting there with Krishna, she's feeding him and that. So what aspect of rasa is prominent?
Sorry.
The Staibhava, right? We think of Mother Jashoda, the mother of Krishna. Right? And, you know, means the Udipana's there, is, you know, Krishna, you know, how cute he is, or his little teeth that are showing, or, you know, any of these little kind of things like that, how he'll move his arms, or different things like that, right? But the prominence at the time is the Stai Baba. Now, when the milk goes, starts to boil over, then now what happens? Right? It shifts. Because now, you know, that anxiety or fear is there. Right? So that's a secondary rasa. Right? And the cause of that is the milk boiling over. Right? But milk is in the area of these are the things to do for Krishna. This is within the Alambana. But the Udipana is the milk boiling over, that's caused the fear. Does this make sense? Right? So then she gets up to go take care of that. Right? So then, you know, Krishna takes advantage of the situation, right, you know? And then he gets angry, right? Because now that's the moves there, but now he becomes angry. Right? She became fearful, he becomes angry. Right? So then you have the manifestations of those, you know, what angry mood you'll take or this. So within the Vyavachari Babas, you know, the 33, or within those eight of what's this? No, no. The Upa ones. Anubhava, right? Does that make sense? So then he goes up, breaks a pot, eats of that, you know, then he's interacting there. Then Mother Jashoda comes back, sees what happens. Now what happens? Now she becomes angry.
And he's fearful.
Huh? And now he becomes fearful. Yeah, they switch roles. You know? Like, you know, everything's cool, is it? Yeah, oops. You know, like that kind of thing, yeah. You know? So that's the whole thing is that he just sees how rasas keeps moving, but what is moving it? It's the Stai Baba. The whole thing is all about parental rasa, but all these different things are there. So then, you know, the thing where he's looking, his eyes become big and that. So those would be aspects of your, how you say, Sanjari Bhavas, right? All the little subtleties that are there, you know? And all these different things are all happening within this. You see what happens? So the Stai Baba brings this one out, brings that one out. Sometimes it's prominent itself, but it's the one that's controlling the whole thing. Does that make sense? That's the central feature. So therefore, if we say parental rasa is rasa, we're not wrong. Because the point is it is the main element of bhava. But it has these four other aspects that it expresses itself through. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, yes.
You mentioned that the Stai Baba actually makes a choking, instead of choking, you right. Gave that example. But that's why sometimes two devotees in the same place will experience different...
Yeah. Yeah, which is happening at the time. One is getting what... It also mentions, remember it says when the life air, depending upon what it mixes with, if it becomes too prominent, it has to become prominent in connection with something. So it throws something off, right? It either throws itself off, or it throws off the earth, or the water, the fire, you know, or the ether, right? Does that make sense? Because it's predominant. So if the air is too predominant, it's going to disturb. You know what I'm saying? Just like you have everybody sitting there, you know, around in the, you know, the couch and chairs and that. And then one person comes, stands up and starts waving their arms around. So they could hit the guy on the right side, hit the guy on the left side, hit the guy in front of them, hit the guy. You understand? So that's what happens. So when the life air touches one of those, then it creates those physical symptoms. You know what I'm saying? If it touches water, it creates the tears or like that. Does that make sense? It hits fire, then the voice. It hits ether, then the stun. You understand? And then you have the intensity. So if it's very intense, it's very full, or it's, you know, it's wet, or it's kind of intense, it's moist because of other constraining conditions, or it's dry because one is not on the platform of bhava. The principle of bhava is what's making the whole system of shraddha to prema work. Right? Because it means prema comes from prema. Right, so therefore, prema in the bud form, that's what extends down to shraddha. Right, so when that becomes very prominent, but you're not actually on the platform of bhava, then the bhava manifests as dry. So you get these ecstatic symptoms, but they're dry. Hair standing on end, tears, these things, all the same ones, but they're not as extreme. Right, no one's going to take you to the doctor for it. Right. Does that make sense? But they're dry. You know, so because it's just, it's not situated in its natural position. If it's situated in its natural position, then it's that. Then as it comes up, it'll come to the moist stage, right? As you come to prema, it'll come to the wet stage. But it'll manifest sometimes as moist if there's conflicting rasas or stuff. You know, it's just like when the cowherd boys are in front of Mother Yashoda, they can exercise their rasa with Krishna, but they can't be crazy. So therefore, the ecstasy has to be controlled. Or the gopis in front of Mother Yashoda, they can't manifest any rasa at all. So it really, you know, that moistness is really controlling it. In a sense, it becomes very controlled. So it can only, ecstasies can only manifest. So they have to really cover them. Does that make sense? Yes.
You mentioned alambana is a particular set of qualities that attracts one to Krishna.
Yeah, it means vibhava, means what is causing the impetus for the whole rasa to manifest. Yeah. So that means it has that basis of qualities and situations that cause the rasa to manifest. But yeah. And then the Udipana is the specific one that happens to be manifesting at the time.
And then you mentioned that Mother Yashoda saw the milk boiling over.
Yes.
And that was one of the things to do for Krishna, which was part of the alambana.
Yeah, because mothers take care of, they feed their children, right? So that milk is for feeding Krishna. And that milk happened to be from Krishna's favorite cow. That gives the milk, right? And it's not that it's just, you know, cows are sitting out there and they give milk. They feed them specific kinds of grasses or herbs, and it gives a specific flavor to the milk, right? So this is, with, you know, a lot of effort to go through this. That milk's boiling over.
How is that part of the qualities that attracts all the Krishna?
Because mothers feed kids. Here's the food. It's spilling on the floor.
Okay.
You get it? You know, they cook for their kid. They get, you understand? Cowherd boys, you know, it's like, you know. Now, if you're in the kitchen, okay? The mom's in the kitchen and the son's in the kitchen, okay? And the milk starts to boil over. What does the boy say? Huh? That. He goes, Mom, the milk's boiling over. He's right next to it. She's in the next room. Right? No?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, see? Because it's not an alambana for them. You know, milk, yeah, milk's boiling. It's just a fact. Milk is boiling over. But for the mom, it's all, oh, you know, she's coming because of the emotion. The kid, there's no emotion, you know, other than like what he said, ooh, cool. That's it, you know. Does that make sense? Okay. Stai Bhava, the predominant Bhava, brings the rest of the Bhavas under its sway and orchestrates varying Bhavas to act as the central impetus in the creation of rasa. Simultaneously, the remaining Bhavas may be engaged to play the role of assistance in the particular Bhava acting centrally. Right? So the Stai Bhava is the actual central rasa. Right? But it's the controlling. So it may take another one and make it the center. And then whatever's left will always be assistance. So either it's the center, then the other four assistance to that, or one of those four is the center and the other three are assistance to that. Right? So in other words, rasa means all these five. It's just which one's prominent at the particular moment and which ones are assisting.
You mentioned five is Sai Bhava, Vibhava, Alambana, Udipana.
No. Vibhava, Alambana, and Udipana are the same thing.
Okay.
Vibhava has two subdivisions.
Okay.
Vibhava means that impetus for rasa. So it has two subcategories. One is what the general area, the basis of what is going to be the cause of impetus, and Udipana, the specific one that's happening at present. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say, the kid, he has in his room 10 toys, right? And all 10 of them bring out the playing mood, right? So he walks in the room and then sees one of them. Then he gets inspired to play. You understand? The 10 of them are the alambana. right? The one he sees is the Udipana, right? The desire to play, that's his Stai Bhav, right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that you're trying to change, it means in the material world, you're trying to change the Stai Bhav of the boy from playing into being responsible. Right? You know what I'm saying? Gurukul knows how to do it. The army knows how to do it. Yeah, and other than that, then you have rare cases where the guy's 12 years old, father dies, no one's left but his, you know, his mother and sisters, and he goes out and gets a job and takes care of him. Then it works also. But other than those particular stories, then the West doesn't really have a system for it, right? Before you go out hunting with the men, or, you know, go build a barn with the men or something, you know, there would be something to do it. But nowadays, what do you do with the men? Nothing. So therefore, then that point of playing never changes. So the Stai Bhava is fixed.
That's the best we can
do. Yeah, yeah. Does that make sense? So everything means when people are complaining of this, that, it's all rasa. But we're not identifying as rasa, right? The question came up the other day, why are we studying this? This goes on every day in everything that you do. Like that. People, oh, but they don't understand me. Who's the me? Who's the other person? What's the interaction? In other words, we have, you know, there's nothing there. It means there's no common udipana or no common alambana. Right? You know, the rasas themselves aren't compatible. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is it changes. In other words, the child's young, okay? And so then with the mother, what's the rasa? Right? Parental, right? Is there something else conflicting with that? No. Even if you have other little kids, there's friendship there, but which is more prominent, the friendship or the parental? The parental. Now they hit puberty. Friendship becomes more prominent. Right? So therefore, then, though the two are they're compatible, but the problem is when they're compatible by the parental rasa being more prominent than the controlling the friendship rasa. Right? But the child doesn't want to be controlled by that. So therefore he sees that there's a conflict. Does this make sense? So then there's the problem. Oh, you don't understand this and that. You don't understand because this is my group of things and this one's prominent, the things you don't understand that. Does that make sense? Yes? No? So this is what's going on. Right? So that's the whole point. Love for Krishna means the natural rasa has become perverted into lust. It says it's perverted. It's still the same mechanics. Right? Does that make sense? No? It means you have a hammer. It bangs nails, right? That's its natural position, right? But then Maxwell gets a hold of it, and he hits people over the head with it, right? And so then now it's in, it's perverted. But the method is the same. Does that make sense? Yes.
Maharaj, so this explanation makes the inquiry about changing the rasa irrelevant, actually.
Yes.
Because rasas are there,
yeah.
It's just which is prominent.
Which is prominent, that's all.
So all those, you know, things means people don't have any knowledge about rasa.
Zero. Because you notice when we go into this topic, it's like something new. It's like, you know, okay, you know, turn to page, you know, 47. Now here we're going to, you know, going into nuclear physics here. Now the breakdown of the, you know, the half-life of, you know, element 105. Right?
Any questions?
Nice. You understand? That's the thing, because we don't think in terms of rasa. Why? Because it's lust. Because rasa means you're trying to please the other person. So therefore, you have to know the science. For yourself, you don't have to know it. Everybody else has to know it. The problem is nobody else understands. Not that I don't understand. You know? Does that make sense? Do you know? Yeah, so that's the point. People are, when they're sitting on the couch there, are they saying, I don't understand anybody else? Or are they saying, no one understands me? Right? Which one of the two is being said? Right? Right? In other words, if no one understands me, you go to the shrink. I don't understand anybody else, you go to the guru. Right? You know, a lot higher and a lot cheaper. So see, people would save money. Imagine how many, of course, they would go out of business, but then maybe less of them would commit suicide. Right? Okay, all those simultaneously, the remaining bhavas may be engaged to play the role of assistants to the particular bhava acting centrally. Although sthayi bhava is the ashva-jnana rupa, the cause of tasting spiritual mellow, it is also the ashvadya rupa, the object of relish. Right? It's the cause of tasting, but it's the object of relish. Right, because it goes both ways. Mm-hmm. Means it's the cause of it because it's controlling all the others. But it itself is also the object of relish. Means you're relishing that mellow. Others are able to relish that mellow. Right? Mother Yashoda is acting, others can appreciate that mellow. Right? At the same time as she's able to taste that mellow. Mm-hmm. So it does both. That's the thing. It's on the spiritual platform, things do two things. In the material world, they only do one. That's why you don't get so much from it. Right? Okay. In solitude, deeply contemplate the nature of sthayi bhava and thus analyze the distinctive features that separate sthayi bhava from the other bhavas. Rati born of sthayi bhava is of two kinds, mukhya rati and gona rati. Okay, so we understand that how it's the central feature and what it is. So it is the cause of tasting spiritual mellow, because it itself sees that all these others are happening, and so therefore, because of that combination, something being central and the others being assistant, you taste it. But at the same time, as the rasa itself is the object of taste of the devotee. Mother Yashoda tastes the parental rasa. But it's the parental rasa itself that creates the ability to taste it. It's the cause of the taste, and it is the taste. Does this make sense? Yeah? Okay. Vrajanath, what is mukhya rati? Goswami, earlier in our explanation of bhava bhakti, we described rati of the shuddha sattva category. That is the mukhya rati to which we are now referring. Mukhya rati is divided into two, svarta and pararta. Svarta rati nourishes itself with the help of all congenial bhavas. However, opposing bhavas produce its diminution. Pararta rati contracts itself to accommodate both congenial and opposing bhavas. There is another higher division of mukhya rati into five types: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Right, so that's what we're used to. So then he's saying that's the higher aspect. Just as the sun rays produce many colors of light when passing through different varieties of quartz, similarly, Shudharati produces distinct and variant symptoms when passing through the different shades of sthayi bhava. Right? So these shades means these five kinds of rasa, and then also the thing Svarta means which is nourished when everything is very proper, and it becomes diminished if there's something that's contradictory. And pararta, which means it's dealing with the two together. Right? It's somehow, because the one, it comes up, but it'll go down when something opposing it comes. Does that make sense? Yeah, because one rasa is being tasted, and then some other thing comes up, so then it may go. The other one is that the one is there, the other one comes up, but then you adjust them and they work together. Right? So it gives a different manifestation. So the one will be very, very, very prominent. Right? We'll see, but basically, like an example is the wet. But when you combine two that don't quite, then it becomes moist. But the point is that ability to be just very focused or combined. Does that make sense? Right, because it may be one's prominent comes up, another thing comes up down, it goes down, and that comes up, and that's fully prominent. Right? So you go from one wet symptom to another wet symptom. But it may be they're combined, so you get a moist symptom. Does that make sense?
Like the example of the gopis in Kurukshetra?
Yes. Means you'd be, yes. You would have those two at once. But it's its own taste. It's its own there. Therefore, that it's very intense. But you can't see the conjugal manifestation. Right? Does that make sense? But you don't see also a formality manifesting. You know? It's not intimate, it's not formal. It's this kind of like in between. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Vrajanath Goswami. Srila Goswami, Vrajanath. Srila Goswami, what is this Shuddharati, pure love? Goswami. Principal Shuddharati is subdivided into three types. Samanya, general, Svacha, clear, and Shanta, peaceful. Okay, what was that Shuddharati from before? The Shuddhasattva. Okay, so... Okay, so this means the principle Shuddharati. Okay, so this would mean... Okay, I think we're talking about Shanta here. Samanya, general, Svacha, clear, and Shanta, peaceful. Maybe not. Samanya Rati is the attachment that people in general feel for Sri Krishna as the Supreme Lord. However, in dedicated devotees, Mukhya Rati takes on a variety of transcendental moods towards Krishna according to the particular devotee's innate spiritual position. When such Krishna Rati passes through the devotee's pure bhava, it is called Svacha, clear or transparent. Devotees infused with such Rati sometimes see Krishna as the Almighty Master and glorify Him with prayers in the mood of Dasya. Otherwise, they see Krishna as a friend and joke with Him in the mood of Sakya. Alternatively, they think of Krishna as the son who is to be fondled and protected with parental care in the mood of Vatsalya. Then again, in the Madhurya mood, they see Krishna as their kanta, lover, and feel exhilarated in His company. In addition, sometimes in Parama Brahman Rati, they lovingly meditate on Krishna as the Supreme Soul within their heart. Okay, so then he went back. He started with a servitorship, and now it went back. Parabrahman Rati. They lovingly meditate on Krishna as the Supreme Soul within their heart. Right? So in other words, He is the Supreme Soul, we're soul, so we're all Brahman, but He's the Supreme Brahman. So they have love on that platform. But we see is it doesn't take on any expressions. In Shanta Rati, devotees with Rati meditate on Krishna as Paramatma and achieve transcendental consciousness characterized by peacefulness and equipoise. Okay. Shuddharati is again divided into two. So, okay. So, in other words, general Rati is means this was it. Samanya means what the people in general, they feel they have affection for Krishna and like that. But it's just general. When that becomes clear, it's very specific, then it becomes one of these four principal rasas, right? But when it goes in shanta and peaceful, that's when it is this element of Parabrahman Rati. Is that therefore it's just peaceful. They have that love for Krishna, but it's just on that element of shanta. But it's not active. Yes.
Is there a reason it's put in this?
It's in that order because it went Samanya, Svacha, and Shanta.
Yeah, that's what would.
Oh, you mean Shanta, asking why those four?
No, wouldn't Shanta be before Svacha?
Yes, but somehow know that he said it in this way. You know. Because, I mean, it comes down, it also just shows that you're going up one side and coming down the other. Like that. Shudrati is again divided into two, Kevalarati, exclusive, and Shankularati, mixed. In Kevalarati, only one mood of Rati is in full play, without the infusion of any other. This exclusive mood is exhibited by the residents of Braja, such as servants like Rasala, friends like Sridhama and Sudhama, and by Guru Jana, senior personalities such as Nanda Maharaj. When a mixture of two or more rasas is displayed within the rati of a devotee, we speak of Shankula Rati. Uddhava, Bhima, Radharani's elderly maid, Mukhara, are examples of devotee with Shankula Rati. Right, they have a few different. Right, like Uddhava, there's the servitorship and friendship. Right? Does that make sense? You know? Or Bhima, you have that also, that servitorship element, but then also he's a little bit, he's like an older friend. Like Uddhava is like a confidential friend. And Mukhara, she's a maid, so she has that servitorship, but there may be something else there. It must be elderly maid, so then parental. Right? Yes.
Well, then Krishna, in the mood of Lord Chaitanya, he wanted to taste this Kevalarati exclusive rasa. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. But it's the exclusive rati of, means of Radharani. Like that. Because that's the one he is unable to catch.
When in a position of Krishna.
Yes.
Because it's always in his position, then it's Sankularati, in a mixed.
No, but it's not so. See, Krishna isn't in a rasa. Krishna is rasa. So you don't really apply these back to him. They apply to the devotee. Because he is rasa. Yes. Means he is the cause of taste. He is what is taste. Right? He means everything expands from him, so he's controlling it at the same time he's tasting that. Like that. He is all the qualities that are appreciated by all the rasas. He is all the udipan. He is, you know. That's the difference. That's why he's called the reservoir of pleasure. He is rasa. Right? That's sometimes the... Yeah. Does that make sense? So that's why he is who he is. Everyone else is in a rasa with Krishna, but Krishna is rasa. Because he can reciprocate with each one of them. So that means he is rasa. But others is in a specific rasa, how they interact with Krishna. Is that right? Yeah? So that's why he's in another category. He's not in... Like,
So Maharaj, then everyone need to understand these rasas and need to train in them.
That's just a matter of it's here, right? Means because we're going through a systematic study, then we're going through it. Like that. But otherwise, then the natural point of the training in this means because we're only going through and finding out what they are.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We're not going in tasting how they're applied. This is just sambandhi gyan. This is the sambandhi gyan of prema. Like that. Means that other level of how that's there, what tasted, that's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita level. Because then you see how Lord Chaitanya and his associates tasted these things and what's going on. But if you have this basis, then you can appreciate what they're tasting. Right? Yes.
Whereas does Vaishnava etiquette help one appreciate, like give some guidelines so that one can appreciate rasa between the devotees?
Yes, because the etiquette means you're behaving properly. Now, whether you appreciate that behaving properly or not, or you're doing it mechanically, but the point is by doing that, at least you create the favorable environment in which you could appreciate. Right? It means you're doing it because you're supposed to. Right? But the heart's not necessarily purified enough, so therefore you don't necessarily appreciate it. But you feel good because it's the proper thing, because you're doing it, Krishna's pleased, you're pleased. But with time, as the heart becomes purified, you're able to actually appreciate that association of devotees. Right? So then the etiquette becomes dynamic. It's not just something you're supposed to do, it's something that you like to do. So it goes from the formal into the informal. Right? Does that make sense? The rules into the spontaneous. But it's simply because that taste is there. But that taste is there because one becomes purified. But it's not purification that causes the taste, because the purification is caused by devotional service itself. So devotional service is causing the taste for devotional service. Right? So that's why you don't have to overemphasize the purification. You emphasize the devotional service. The purification is just automatic. You know, it's just like, let's say, you're saying, I'm so hungry, so eat this. No, but what about the hunger? You just, by eating this, the hunger go away. But isn't there something I can do, you know, extra to make sure that the hunger goes away? No, all you have to do is eat. Understand? Says that we think, no, there's something extra I have to do to purify myself. You know what I'm saying?
Special instructions.
Special instructions, you know, special, you know, something that, is disturbing for you to do, you know, very hard, very, like, tough, you know.
Drink boiling ghee.
Huh?
Drink boiling ghee.
Well, they don't take it that hard. You know, you know, I mean, you know, they may try to eat the halva when it's still hot, or the pakoras when it's still hot, you know, so like that. But generally no one sits down, I'm going to purify myself by eating this bucket of halva. You know, like that. Well, no, excuse me. A best bucket of pakoras. We'll leave the other one. Wait a minute, that's my main sadhana. Yes.
This sankhya rati, as said earlier, rati is born of skybound. Sankhya rati is like, it's a mix of the
two. Yes, but there's a prominent one, but it has a mix. You know, just like when Krishna was born in Mathura, how did the parents behave? What was the first thing? When Krishna appeared with four arms, what did they say?
They said prayers.
They said prayers, so that's dasya. Then when he manifests as a baby, then they dealt as matsalya. So that's mixed. But the prominence, they're known as the parents of Krishna. But it has that one element to it. You know what I'm saying? Now, Mother Jashoda, when she saw the universal form, what did she do? She started offering prayers? She just thought, you know, man, what did I eat for breakfast? You understand? So that's why it says that in Vrindavan, it's direct, straight, it's clear. That's why it's so special. And because it's clear, it'll be much more extreme. So when you have two rasas at once, it's not that it means still there's taste like that, but one doesn't manifest to such a degree. You know, just like, let's say Krishna is there, Mother Jashoda is just going to go and see him, but Nanda means Devaki and Vasudev. Then, depending on the situation, it's a formal situation, all the kings are there, then they're going to sit in their place and wait for that time when they can go. You understand? So that's the difference, whether it's pure or it's mixed. But it's not a bad thing. You know, it's just like this. It's like, okay, let us go to the high school. Okay? This may mean something to you or not, but whatever, we'll try. And so then the teenager gets out of the car, right? And then the teenager sees some of their friends and they start to interact. And just before the mom drives off, you know, she says something. You know, don't forget this, you know, like that. So how does the kid feel? Right? A little disappointed, because here you're trying to interact with your friends and then the mother is there. So, but the mother is very clear on the parental rasa. Now, she had those feelings, but then she thought, oh, she's with her friends. Okay, so let's... Then that has that element of mixed. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So it's not a problem. I mean, that'll be more specifically your, you know, bring it down to the moist. But the concept of that mixing. Does that make sense? You know, or let's say that the mother and child, the mother and daughter, they're very good friends. at the same time the parental rasa is there. So at that point, then the parental wasa was there, but the friendship also came up. You know, so the friendship became more prominent there. And so therefore she didn't say anything. Does that make sense? You know, then that works more with that example. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Vrajana, now I'm eager to hear about the symptoms of Dasyarati. Goswami, right? Because there's not much to explain. The para Brahman Rati, then we enchanted devotees with Rati meditate on Krishna's Paramatma and achieve transcendental consciousness characterized by peacefulness and equal poise, right? There's not a whole lot more to discuss, right? Especially for our residents of Vrindavan, because it's going to be the clear. That's why then if you take that, Svacha, that means that's why we would only describe four rasas. Because four rasas are clear. Right? Okay. Goswami, Dasyarati is evoked within the devotee when he considers with a reverential attitude. Krishna is my Lord and I am his servant. Those devotees who are firmly attached to this Rati are not charmed by anything of this world. Right? Because it's just Krishna. Krishna is the Lord, so there's nothing else that's important. Vrajanath, what are the qualities of Shakyarati? Goswami, those devotees who consider Krishna as their equal and have unflagging faith and absorption in this rasa towards him possess Shakyarati. In the mellow of Shakyarati, there is joking, laughing, and similar activities of friendship. Right? Does that make sense? In other words, the one is that there's nothing in this world that's special except for the Lord. Right? So therefore, even in Vaikuntha, everything is very wonderful. That's not what's important. It's the Lord who's important. Right? Does that make sense? So there's a very natural, then you see, just renunciation, a detachment. Like if they're here in this world, then they just don't get involved in anything. It's not a matter of that something else. Just part of the rasa is that you're not, nothing else is important, only God's important. Right? Within the Shakyaras, of course that element's there because it's that plus more. But now it's only God's important, but now there's joking, laughing, and similar activities, right? So that means each one has what the last one has. Right? What are the characteristics of Vatsalyarati? Goswami. Persons senior to Krishna shower kindness and love upon him in Vatsalyarati. The characteristic of this Rati is a protective mood in which the guardians look after Krishna, perform auspicious rituals for his protection and welfare, offer him their blessings, fondle him with affection, and so on. Right? But it doesn't mean that they don't, joking, laughing, and other activities of friendship aren't there, but they're minor. They just come up. The main thing is this element of, how do you say, protective mood, guardians, performing auspicious rituals for his protection, welfare, offer him the blessings, fondle him with affection, and so on. You understand? That'll be prominent. But it's now and again there'll be a joke or they laugh but it's not that, like when Krishna is there and he and Balaram, they catch, when they're little babies, they catch the tails of the calves. Right? And then they stand up, and then the calves, because they get scared, they run, and then they go like basically skiing on the field, land skiing, right? So then the gopis, they laugh. So Krishna, and that, they do that all the time just to make them laugh. They always do stuff like that. So it's part of the thing. But it's from that laughter, it again drops back into that main aspect of the Sai Baba, because it's the secondary aspect for them, right? But it's more primary for the friendship. Vrajanath kindly also described Madhurya Rati Lakshanam, the nature of attachment in the conjugal mellow. Goswami, when the Vraja Gopis' love for Krishna is prompted by the eight types of Samboga, enjoyment, such as Smarana, remembrance, Darshana, sight, and so on, this mellow is called Madhurya Rasa. This Rati is expressed by such means as Kataksha, sidelong glances, Brukshepa, longing amorous glances, Priyavani, sweet words, and Hasya, laughing and joking. Right? But it's not slapping your thighs and cackling, right? That's not that kind of laugh. everything. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, it's not, you know.
Yeah, good one, Krishna. Yeah, whack him on the back. Yeah,
no, that's it. That's not, that's Cowherd Boys. Right? That's, as one moves from Shanta to Madhurya, the Rati is increasingly relishable and blissful. According to their elevation in bhakti, these moods are eternally present in the pure devotees. Thus, briefly, I've enumerated the five kinds of Mukhya Rati, principal attachment. Right? So these are principal attachments. So therefore the shanta is a principal attachment. But within the rasas that are clear, it's the four. Right? And then of shanta, then basically you could say that there's two kinds. One is the actual, you know, the what do you call it? What was it called? Shanta, peaceful. Right? Shanta, right? So shanta. And then samanya, general. Right, because it's also a love for Krishna, but it's kind of a general. It's just kind of, it's not so clear. It's not so specific. Right? Does that make sense?
According to the discussion, then the devotee, as they become more purified by devotional service, then we require ever increasing amounts of clear rasa.
They require.
For you know. Yeah.
Means.
Quota, you know. Quota.
No, but what's the? I don't quite catch what's the question.
I'm trying to confirm an understanding.
No, but it's saying we're discussing Mukhya Rasa, in other words, the five main rasas, yeah. Right? Yeah. So that five main rasas is the higher element, but within that there is where one's prominent, it's exclusive, or it's mixed, right? And so the higher form of that is those five. Right? But within those five, there's three aspects. One is general, one is clear, and one is shanta, peaceful. Right? So the samanya, the general and the peaceful, that's all within shanta rasa. And clear is within those four higher rasas. Does that make sense? Yes.
On the level of prema.
Yes, yeah, all of it can be on the level of prema. And at least it's on this level of, what do you call it here, Shuddha Sattva category, right? So, now whether that samanya is prema, that I'm not sure, but he's saying it's classified as Mukhya Ras. That's why it's coming here. Yes. They're appreciating it. It's not that they're in Madhurya Rasa. Just like, let's say, you see a mother and a child, and they're interacting, and it's very nice, and you appreciate that. But does that mean you're in parental rasa? No. So that's the whole point. You know? So they're tasting it, but from their platform. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So when it's mentioned that special group in Vrindavan, Radha Krishna... when Radha Krishna have their final meeting in a special place in Vrindavan, there is a... It's a special bush which is the only bush allowed to witness the most intimate last person from that part on Rasa.
Yeah, so I guess that's Madhavendra Puri. The point is that they're able to appreciate that. You know, so they do. The other ones are just that shanta is, that element is more prominent. It doesn't have that element of mix. So that would be here your sakula. You know, so it's not just pure shanta. It's shanta mixed with that other, you know. But the point is, it's still in shanta ras, but it has that other mix. Yes. Yes, yes. Yes.
Is there a sense of superiority?
No. No. It means we just describe it so you understand that there's a hierarchy. But as far as one being higher actually higher than the other. It's not seen that way. Because in Vrindavan, means if you're looking at Vrindavan as a village, then who is the top? Yes, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Jashoda, because they're the king and queen. Right? Does that make sense? But if you're talking about the intimate pastimes, then who's the head? Srimati Radharani. You understand? But if we're talking about, let's say, pastimes out in the forest, like that, then you have your cowherd boys. Does that make sense? You know, so there are different situations. One will be more prominent than the other. That's the whole idea in the Leela, is that at any particular time of the day, one rasa is more prominent than the other. You understand? In the morning, it's parental rasa, because they wake up Krishna, he gets up, he does his duties, they feed him breakfast. But at the same time, the cowherd boys can also come and join, help milk the cows, you know, help dress Krishna, take breakfast with Krishna. But they're secondary to Mother Jashoda, as the parental rasa being the primary. Right? Then everybody comes together, as Krishna's going to go out in the field, all the rasas are there, and so nobody can be that prominent. But even then, when all the five rasas are there, then Mother Jashoda is still the prominent one there, because it's all about why Krishna should go. Nanda Baba can take the cows out. You know, like that. Why does Krishna have to take them out? Does that make sense? So then that's there until it's convinced, and the cowherd boys then convince him that, no, we'll take care. Right? Because Balaram and the other older cowherd boys, you know, they go out. They all have weapons. They don't just go out there. They have swords and shields and clubs, and you know, they're serious. And then Mother just showed us, okay, then they can go. Right? But then once they go out and it's far enough away where, you know, Mother showed and everybody's not seeing anymore, you've gone to the forest where it's dark. Now the cowherd boy, that Sakya Ras, that takes prominence. Right? And so now they go out and they be crazy and do whatever they do. Right? But then as it comes towards noontime, then the gopis are coming by and making the arrangements for the rendezvous. Then Balaram will stay with the cowherd boys, but Krishna will go off and meet the gopis. Do you understand? Then now it's their time. Then the point is then at a certain point they have to take the cows back, so Krishna goes back to where the cowherd boys are. Right? So that's their moment. Again with Krishna. And then Krishna goes back, but then the gopis, they've gone back, but they can see Krishna go by, but they can't interact. Right? And then they get back while they're going back also, then the demigods come, and they offer prayers to Krishna. So then for that moment, it's that servitorship is prominent, while they offer prayers, right? And then after the demigods go, then the cowherd boys, again, it's their prominent, they go in, but then Mother Jashoda can see them. So now it starts, she becomes, and so they start calming down, and then her rasa comes up. Then they come in, and then Mother Jashoda greets, and this and that. Cowherd boys can be around, like that. The gopis are there in the morning, or there at that time to help with bathing and cooking, but they can't manifest their rasa, right? So all that's manifest is parental and friendship and servitorship. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Like that. So like that, then the whole process goes on.
Alright.
Yeah.
So when Krishna is away, the specific devotee relishes the contact with Krishna through meditation and remembrance.
Yeah. Remember. Because that's the thing in Vrindavan, you'll have that element of separation, and that's the higher element. The other realms, it's always the sambhoga is the highest element. Right? Because the separation is so great, its intensity is greater than when you're with Krishna. Because even if you're, why we say that is because even they meet Krishna, there's that moment of ecstasy, of that interaction that's so intense, but then immediately they start worrying about Krishna's going to leave. So then that element of separation is always there, even when they're with Krishna. Does that make sense? Because then that's what makes it parakeya. Because parakeya means it's not yours, you can go at any moment. So therefore then how they'll deal, it's much more intense than it would be at, you know, in Dwarka, where at this time he'll come to the court, then he'll sit, he'll do that, at this time he'll go home. Is, you know, the wives are sitting there, at this time he goes to court, at this time he'll come home. You understand? So it's just no. So there's that separation. But when he's at home or when he's in the court, he's there. There's no separation. You understand? But in Braj, even they're with him, then there's that. Or even you might say, well, mother just showed it. But the point is technically she's not. He's not her kid. He's actually from Mathura. Does that make sense? So everybody has that element of that parakī. It means is not theirs. So that's why parakī is the main rasa in prominence in Vrindavan. So does that make sense?
Yeah. For the cowherd boys, it would be the possibility of Krishna not coming, which would be like the Talmud.
No, but he's not from there. He's from Mathura. The point is for everyone, he's not from Vrindavan, he's from Mathura. It's not that they don't know that, it's just nobody thinks about it. It's not part of the thing, but at the same time, Yeah, no, but also it's just when he's there, then at some point they have to go back. Right? They go out at 10, but by 5 they have to be back. So, it goes pretty quick. But because Balaram's there and the cowherd boys, because of that rasa, then Balaram nourishes that rasa, so when Krishna goes away with the gopis in the noon pastimes, then he keeps them all busy so that they don't notice Krishna's gone. Yes.
Like in Vrindavan, is the devotee aware of their own rasa with Krishna fully, but do they are also aware of the rasa of the other devotee with Krishna?
What do you mean by aware?
Well, means they live their own rasa, but they know also the relationship between other devotee and Krishna at the same time.
But I mean, it's just the same. Do you know that here?
No.
you don't know that kid and that kind of taller person have a parental rasa?
Yes.
Or
yes,
that kid
yes.
and the other kid have a friendship rasa?
Yes, yes.
So it would be the same. Means everybody knows, means that's what the village of Vrindavan means. That's what the spiritual world means. There's a culture there. That's why the necessity of all the etiquettes and how you behave. Because you're in one rasa, you have one position, someone else is another rasa, they have another position. So it's all based on how all the rasas can be tasted, right? Mm-hmm. But while here, even though we know all that, we don't know that that's actually the central position. So that's why then I want to do that. But the point is if you do that, you know what I'm saying? Let's say like you have a men's club, okay? So the men sit around and do whatever they do as men, right? But then there's things, I don't know about other places in the world, but there's one particular location on the planet where then the women go and take the club to court that they're discriminating sexually against women by not allowing them to be in the club. Okay? And so then they win, and then the club has to allow women to be members. But as soon as one woman, you can have 100 men, but as soon as one woman's there, the men can't act as men. So there's no aspect for the rasa of man to man to be manifest. You know what I'm saying? Even if she's a little bit more of a wild girl, so they can she doesn't mind if they burp or she can burp as good as them. Then, but the thing is it's still limited on what aspects. It's only what she allows to be a little bit more. It's not that this is what we do and she has to adjust. No. The woman's there, everybody has to adjust to her. So therefore, that rasa of men being with men is no longer allowed. And if men can't be with men, they don't become strong as men. So therefore, when they are with women, they're weaker. Right? And then one wonders why there's, 3-1 women to men in the big cities. Because there's nothing that a man can go that there's not women involved. Nothing. So therefore they become weaker. So therefore there's more girls. And it'll only get worse. I was hearing the other day, at the end of Kali Yuga, it's I think 11-1 or 12-1. That's standard. Now it's 1-1 is basically standard. But your cities it's 3-1. Big cities, like that. But then at the end of Kali Yuga it's 12-1. Like that.
Sure. Now that in village it is the opposite.
Huh?
In village it is the opposite.
Yeah,
now.
Some places it is. It's only 1-to-1 because places like India and other places where it's the other way. I think there's many more men to women. You know, so that's why overall in the planet it's 1-to-1. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, you have these elements. It's rasa that defines, because this rasa is the main thing. The whole idea of the soul and God is prema. So that means prema is the basis of interaction. So the whole social culture is the culture of how all the varieties of prema can peacefully coexist. Right? And so when one rasa meets another, what's the etiquette? You know? And which rasa, if Krishna's there, then which rasa takes prominence? That's where it all comes from. So all the whole social system of Varnashram is simply coming out of rasa. Right? But because we don't understand that it's rasa, we think it's facilities. Rasa is the prayojana. The facilities are the sambandha aspect. And because we think it's all about the facilities, right? And in the facilities, in sambandha we're talking about sankarshan, just what's the facility. So it's why the men should have this facility, why can't the women also have this facility? Right? So the point is no, but then there's the attraction and that attachment. So you can't manifest that particular rasa. So therefore, everything gets mixed up, so no rasa can be tasted.
Akarasa.
Yeah, it's good. Huh?
Akarasa.
No, it's just basically no rasa. Yeah, it's just no rasa. Because then you can't manage, because there's so many conflicting rasas. Right? Just like, let us say, for the person who has authority issues, what is the perfect management council made up of? What kind of people? What are the mentalities of the people in this management council?
Social democracy.
No. But the point is who's in there? You have people who are managers. But who else should be there? No. You're not thinking from, maybe you don't catch, maybe no one has that mentality. Good. Right, great. Okay. No anarchist here. Right? The point is you want to have as many opposing mentalities as possible, because then they can get nothing done, and so then no authority gets established. You know? So that's always, if this person's there, then you look at, okay, who is the person that his you know, exact opposite? Right? He has to be there. You know? And then to make sure those two don't get together, then who's, you know, this and that, and so they put it together, and then that's your perfect counsel, because then nothing gets done. Why? Because no one agrees. The Veda concept is, you make a council out of people who have the same mentality, then things get done. Yes.
You see the same in modern politics?
Yeah, it means you have your opposition. So what it means, one party's in, the other party opposes. So the opposing party spends their whole time simply opposing everything the other one does, even if it's good. Let's say it's good for the people. But the point is, it shouldn't be they do anything good for the people. We'll do the good for the people. The problem is then when they, because they oppose it, then they get nothing done. So then people see, they did nothing. Vote for us. We'll get everything done. Then when they get into power, the other ones spend the whole time. So the people never get anything. Right? It's supposed to be who actually gets to call the shots and who assists them getting it done. Right? That's what it's supposed to be. But it's not like that, because that means the rasas are able to cooperate. But here it's a matter of opposing. So no one tastes anything. Right? And then the shrinks make money off of that.
And kill themselves.
Huh?
And kill themselves.
Yeah, well, that's after you get so bummed out by hearing that nobody's tasting anything. Because your idea is that making all this money as a psychiatrist, you're going to be able to get facilities to enjoy yourself, but they have the facilities. Otherwise, why are they there paying you, right? And so then they're not enjoying themselves, so what's the use, right? Yeah, so... Okay, then Madhurya. We got to Gurudev. Okay, Gurudev, please describe. Okay, thus briefly I've enumerated the five kinds of mukhya rati, principal attachment. Okay? Brajanath, Gurudev, please now describe gona rati that gives rise to the secondary spiritual rasas. Right? Because mukhya rasa is the five primary but it's showing that they're prominent, you know, their prominence. You know, either exclusive or there's a mix, right? And then now he's talking about what are the secondary ones. Goswami. The super excellent secondary bhavas that belong to the Alambana, the transcendental lover and beloved, are known as Gaunarati. Right, so now these ones are part of Alambana, right? They're not part of the Stai Bhava. Right? Because you can't have a Stai Bhava of a secondary rasa. Right? It means some religious systems try that fear is the basis of, you know, your love of God, but it doesn't work. It's a secondary rasa. It's an Alambana. Right? Means that, you know, when God walks in and you're doing something you shouldn't, then everybody starts, you know, singing very loudly and freaking out, right? Like that. You know, Verdi has documented this one. Right? So that's the kind of, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There are seven Gaunaratis. Hasya, laughter, Vishmaya, astonishment, Utsaha, eagerness, Shoka or Karuna, lamentation, eagerness, Shoka or Karuna, lamentation or compassion. Okay. Karuna can also mean, Karuna, lamentation or compassion. Right, in other words, you're compassionate or you can't do anything, so you lament about that. Mm-hmm. You're not lamenting about yourself, you're lamenting that you can't do something for someone else. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Krodha, anger, bhaya, fear, and jugupsa, or ninda, scorn, ghastliness, and disgust. Only the first six bhavas can be directed towards Krishna. Okay, so that means the last one, ninda, cannot be directed towards Krishna. Means those that do, that's the demons. They do that. Right. Means you might direct it at someone else, but you don't. When Shudarati appears within the heart of a devotee and he feels his bodily activities to be an object of disgust, we speak of Jugupsa Bhava, scorn, which is considered the seventh Gona Bhava. Okay, when Shudarati. So therefore when that pure devotion appears like that, then that's... Does that make sense? So this pure devotion, meaning the activities, that it's there, but this Shudharati, when that pure attachment or attraction to Krishna, right? Then there's means that, so because that's in the position of Rati, then therefore it's what's also making everything else work. So as that comes up, then there's less attachment to the body and anything connected to it. Huh? Does that make sense?
Like the Brahmana who stuck the pins of on his eyes, Bilvamukha.
Yeah, just discussed it. That's what, how the whole thing works.
Gopis complaining to Yashoda Mata regarding Krishna's doesn't come under Ninda.
No, that's in those other things, because we saw in the others that there can be anger or this and that. Those are the other aspects of Bhava. These are secondary, so that means that's the prominent one that's there. No, that's all within the other. Because this one doesn't support, because this is actual, you know, disgust, that kind of action. What's that? Scorn, ghastliness, and disgust. Prabhupada mentions, you know, sometimes the, how you say, on the material platform, then you get the, what do you say? Conjugal rasa ending in this jugupsa. You know, some ghastly murder scene or some other kind of, you know, total disgust and irreconcilable differences and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, so it ends up that way.
The pieces cannot be reconciled.
Yeah, the pieces cannot be reconciled. Yeah, we irreconcilable differences. I can't get the head to go back on. Between the secondary Gona Bhava symptoms and the primary Mukya Shuddha Sattva Bhava, there are inherent differences. Yet, because Gona Bhava is linked with the contracting Pararta Mukhya Rati, right? Remember, Pararta is when there's a mix of more than one kind of thing, right? When it's mixed with that. The seven emotions beginning with Hasya are recognized as Rati, right? Because they're mixed. In other words, there's the Stai Bhava, and then you can have these other ones mixed. Just like you can have two Stai Bhava mixed. You can have the Stai Bhava and a Gona, right? It means the Mukhya Rati and Mukhya Rati and a Gona Rati, right? So therefore they're classified as categorized as Rati. Right? Does that make sense? Hare Krishna. In certain devotees, one or more of the Gona Bhavas reach a constant state in their relationship with Krishna. But this is generally not the case. Thus, Gona Bhavas are referred to as irregular, unsteady, and temporary. And only under specific conditions do they attain sufficient force to dislodge the primary Rati and establish themselves as the preponderant Bhava. Like that. So it's irregular. It means in theory it could, but it's not. But like in the material world, like in the third verse of the Bhagavatam, where this brings up this point of rasa, then Prabhupada then discusses all the different rasas. And then in there, he points out that the basically in the material world, what people taste are the secondary rasas. So here we have example where that secondary rasa comes up, and that becomes the prominent aspect. Just like, let's say, you have a bunch of friends, right? They're supposed to be in friendship rasa, right? But all they can do is do some other activity in which they find fun, right? So if they're not laughing, it's not friendship. But the other one, friendship, is a symptom, because they're always together, and therefore they appreciate what's going on. That's why then there is the aspect of they laugh. But this one is, if they're not laughing, they're not friends, and as soon as the person's not funny anymore or like that, then the relationship goes away. Does that make sense? You know, if you're not amazed, if you're not astonished, if you're not eager, you know, like say, in the conjugal relationship, that romantic aspect, that eagerness is there. But if it's only, it has to be about eagerness, about that newness, and if it's not there, then the conjugal rasa is not there. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. Yes. Because otherwise it's a symptom of one, because the conjugal rasa is all the different flavors, and that's one of them. But when it becomes that it's got to be that, okay, what are we going to do today that's new? Because what they do, you go out to the movie, they go to this, they go to that. It's always something happening, something to create excitement, new, fresh. But as soon as it becomes a standard thing, then it disappears. Why? Because they're not actually dealing with conjugal rasa. Right? It's there to a little bit flavor, but it's not the secondary rasas become prominent. I mean, why? Because it's all about yourself. Rasa means it's about the interaction with the other person. Because I like being with this person because they make me laugh. Yeah. Right? And as soon as they don't make me laugh, I don't want to be with the person. Mm.
Right? Is that why intoxication is so popular? Because then you can kind of dull yourself down, and then secondary rasas appear like vibrant.
That was too revealing.
Too revealing?
Yeah, because you can also, they jack you up to the point of, you know, so active, that they make you so active. But there's downers and uppers. I guess from the particular region that you're like that, then we can understand the downers is the predominant side.
Well, yeah. I'm not confirming anything. No, I was looking at it from the perspective.
A point of motive ignorance.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're looking at it from motive ignorance, then yes, it just brings on, but the motive ignorance brings about madness and all that. So, in other words, they're trying to get some kind of an experience, right? By adding in the intoxication, then they're trying to enhance an experience. Because they're not getting it from normal interaction. Right? The normal interaction is the problem. So therefore, one does that. Otherwise, like kids, they don't need to be, right? It means the kids are the most extreme on either uppers or downers, right? They're either totally in ecstasy or are completely bummed out. Right? You know, it's like, so they're interacting very nicely. It's only when they lose faith in interaction, then intoxication looks like an alternative because it creates that intensity. But the problem is because it increases ignorance, all it's doing is increasing insanity. So that's why you're not really connected with, you know, the reality around you. And so then it makes it even worse, so you become even more, so it means in relationships, dysfunctional. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's not really an alternative. That's why it's not, the Vedas don't recommend it. Because it just distracts. It doesn't actually add anything. Yeah. Yes.
There are certain of the secondary that we don't do as Krishna conscious people. So,
such as? It only says one. Ninda. Jugupsa, yeah. Ninda. That's the only last one. All the other ones are there.
Mm.
Right. It means the fear means it's directed towards Krishna, so fear that something will happen to Krishna. Like Aristasura comes, so they're afraid for Krishna, or Akaliya, that Akaliya has him bound up, so they're afraid for Krishna. They're not afraid for themselves, they're afraid for Krishna.
Okay, but in the context of the material relationships where we are trying to chase the secondary, we cut ourselves off from that.
From the secondary?
Yes. I mean, from that way of having a relationship.
What we're saying is the secondary is not the actual mukhi, it's not the main rasa. People are trying to taste the main rasa, but somehow or another the secondary rasas do like what he's saying here. They thus gona rat bhava through irregular, unsteady, and temporary, and only under specific conditions do they attain sufficient force to dislodge the primary rati and establish themselves at the preponderant bhava. Right? Because that's because of the grossness of the materialism and self-centeredness that the gona rasas can actually dislocate the main rasas. That's here. And in the, he's, you know, in the spiritual platform, then it seems to be very rare that happens. But then that becomes the main rasa, so they're always laughing with Krishna, or always astonished by Krishna, or always eager, something like that. So that becomes more prominent, rather than just this one of the tastes. Because it being temporary, that's the whole point. It brings out the variety of tastes, right? Because it is a variety, it's not a main dish, right? It means parental is a main dish. Then it has the variety within it, so then you can add six of these to that. But if you make one of these the prominent, it's not a main aspect. Laughter is not a main aspect. Because parental, you can feel whether you're with the person or not, or this or that. But laughter, then they'll just have to think of things that are funny with Krishna and joking with Krishna and that. You know what I'm saying? So it's not considered the regular that it would be like that. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. That's good.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.